Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC, Wednesday morning, 9:15. Ray in for Joe today on an abbreviated panel. We will be going back to NPR special coverage of the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings for Judge Neil Gorsuch at 9:30. In the meantime, we have a mini roundtable panel. We'll talk a little about the hearings and some of the news of the day with our own Alan Shartok. And once again, the email address. We won't have time for too many emails, but it's panel at WAMC.org. Alan, welcome aboard, old boy.
Well, thank you, and thank you for letting me know we were going to do this, Ray.
I just come into work, and they say, do this, I do this.
Talk about organized chaos. I heard somebody yelling at somebody else while you were doing the news.
Yeah, I was yelling at Dave for making up the temperatures. But he wasn't. He lost his place for a minute. And, Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch enters the third day of his nomination hearings largely unscathed by Democratic attacks. Republicans confident he will win confirmation. Growing number of Democrats, though, including Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York and Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, are calling for Gorsuch's confirmation to be delayed because of the FBI investigation of ties between Donald Trump's presidential campaign and Russia. But Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley of Iowa dismissed that demand. I was going to play some audio. Dismissed that demand.
Oh, please.
Play the audio.
I think that it's ridiculous. First of all, and second, there is a process for determining whether or not the president should be in office. But as long as he's in office, he can exercise these constitutional powers, and that's what's being done here. But I think it's ridiculous to think when a president that's duly elected should stop functioning as president of the United States. That's simply ridiculous. And that's really what Schumer would be asking the president to do. He's got the power to nominate. We have the power to confirm or not make any decision at all. The president has performed his constitutional responsibilities, and we would expect him to because he took an oath to uphold the Constitution.
And that is Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley, that Iowa of Iowa, and that audio is a courtesy of C-SPAN. Now, Alan, you go ahead.
Well, that's unbelievable. I'm sure that everybody listening says the Constitution says it is his responsibility to nominate and is our responsibility to confirm and deny. Guess what? They didn't do that when they had a chance. When the Democrat announced who his choice was with over a year to go. So this is bold-faced hypocrisy, if there ever was a bold-faced hypocrisy. How can you turn around after you've done this dastardly deed and then say, now the shoe is on the other foot, and therefore the president has nominated, and we have to go ahead, and we have to do this? My hair is coming out of my head, and I haven't got that much left.
Did you watch the hearings yesterday? I assume because of your ankle injury, you probably were glued to the set.
I was, you know, with some time out to see what was going on in Gunsmoke. But for the most part, you know, I almost entirely watched the hearings. I thought that Gorsuch handled himself extremely well. I mean, we all know who he is. If it walks like a duck and it sounds like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. He's a conservative. We know that. How do we know it? Because you take a look at his history as a judge. And you take all of those decisions. Political scientists spend enormous amounts of time doing this. And then you say, okay, we're going to put him between 1.2, 1.4 on the this scale or the conservative scale. And you know exactly what you got. A duck.
It was a long, grueling 11-plus hours yesterday. And by the end, I think everybody was getting a little loopy by the 6 to 7:30 time frame.
Right.
Do you think, and really this is all about, I would assume, not grandstanding, but publicizing positions. And do you think the Democrats scored any points yesterday?
I really don't. I tend to swing a little bit towards the liberal side on these things. And yet, I thought that he handled himself extraordinarily well with a great aplomb. And I didn't see any moment You look for two things here. You look for him to lose his cool or for the Democrats to lose their cool. I didn't see many examples of either. I thought Dianne Feinstein, who was expected to lead the charge, didn't do particularly well when it came to any kind of damage inflicted. I thought that Senator Leahy did an incredible job, but, you know, he is who he is. I thought that Al Franken was, frankly, the best of the lot. He just got mad about that truck driver decision, and, you know, of course, he was right about that. But, of course, there was an example of the judge being in dissent, not with the people who made the decision. So I thought that was the one place that maybe you had a little bit of give.
Did you learn anything? Was anything learned yesterday?
Well, you know, I think the only thing that I kept thinking was that it was that we learned a little bit about his character, who he is as a human being. And we know he's in charge of his space, that's for sure. And his sort of aw shucks demeanor, which to turn around to say, then that guy was in the room with me, and then he points to somebody else, and he was in my law firm, and thanks for being here and all the rest of it. But other than that, I didn't learn anything. And in fact, I would like to learn a little bit more about some of his judicial positions or posturing. We know that the Republicans are trying to do in, you know, Planned Parenthood. So I would have liked to know a little bit more about where we were going. But these hearings are never going to be substantive to the point where these guys are going to say, this is how I'm going to vote on a particular piece of legislation.
Do you think that there is at least a remote possibility of a filibuster in April on this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do think so. I think that what's happening is that the Democrats are taking the temperature of Democrats around the country. Look, people were furious about the whole concept of not allowing a president to choose, and really, as in contradistinction to what we just heard from Grassley, really violating the Constitution. And they're furious, and they don't fully know what to do about it. So the two choices are, we're not going to sink to their level and do what they did. Why not? I mean, you know, this was a terrible thing that was done to Obama's nominee.
You're talking about Merrick Garland.
You know, on the other, of course, yeah, of course. Yes, right. So this could be a get-even thing. I think most Democrats in blue states are furious about what happened to Garland and are absolutely convinced that there has to be some recompense here.
Mm. Although, and I'm sure you've seen the video from 1992 of Biden when he was in the Senate saying we shouldn't, the president should not put forth a candidate if an opening happens on the Supreme Court because this is election time and it would not be a fair process.
This is over a year in advance, Ray. I would point that out to you. And number two, let's say Biden did say it, and let's say he was catering to his
crowd. Well, he did say
it.
We watched the video.
You know, no. And I just say, let's say, you know, there's no need to take a tone, you know, let's just say and admit or whatever that he did it. So what? There's right and wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right. I've been arguing that with you and some of your colleagues for years. That's just the way it is.
That's very nice. Nicely put. Alan Shartok is our political observer and moral compass here at WAMC. It's the round table, and only about 5 minutes left here until we go over to special coverage. The big news breaking last night, and perhaps when you talk filibuster, maybe this will be more of a leverage reason. The Associated Press has learned that President Donald Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, secretly worked for a Russian billionaire to advance the interests of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Manafort wrote a 2005 strategy plan that he said, quote, can greatly benefit the Putin government. At the time, U.S.-Russia relations under Republican President George W. Bush were growing worse. Manafort's arrangement was with Russian aluminum magnate Oleg Deripaska, a close Putin ally. Manafort signed a $10 million annual contract beginning in 2006, maintained a business relationship until at least 2009, and the work was described in interviews with people familiar with it and confidential business records obtained by the Associated Press. Manafort confirmed to the AP that he worked for Deripaska, but said that the work was being unfairly cast as inappropriate. I'm sure you've seen this news, Alan.
Yes, yes, of course it was being unfairly cast. Come on, they've got receipts now. They've got his signature, or what a lot of people are saying looks an awful lot like his signature on the bottom of, I think, a $750,000 payment to him. And, of course, I've been saying from the very beginning that in when it comes to a Trump potential failure in this presidency, it's going to revolve around this relationship with the Russians. So now you have Manafort, who they knew so well was real danger, that they had to fire him as the campaign manager from the Trump organization. Listen, I was struck by a number of commentaries this morning about Roy Cohn. Now, Roy Cohn, in my opinion, was one of the worst people who ever lived in America. He was McCarthy's special counsel. He was a very difficult guy, and he was a mentor to Manafort, as I understand it, and to others. And basically what he said was, never apologize. And by the way, to Trump, to President Trump. So never apologize. And if there's one thing we see with this president is that he doesn't apologize. You know, he can say that there's a birther movement and that Barack Obama was not born in this country. He never apologizes for that. He can say all of the other stuff that we see now swirling around us, and there will be no apology. And I have a feeling where there is some smoke, there is some fire.
Well, this piece, and it's an extensive piece by the Associated Press, Jeff Horwitz and Chad Day, further on page 3, and I'll quote, Manafort did not disclose details about the lobbying work to the Justice Department during the period the contract was in place. Under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, people who lobby in the U.S. on behalf of foreign political leaders or political parties must provide detailed reports about their actions to the department. Willfully failing to register is a felony and can result in up to 5 years in prison and a fine of up to $250,000, though the government rarely files criminal charges. So that's on page 3 of this very long AP article, and may pose a sticky wicket to somebody involved.
Well, it may pose a sticky wicket to the president. I'll tell you why. Because here Manafort was a close, intimate advisor to the president of the United States as his campaign chairman. And if Manafort falls, and if there is a felony possibility here, who gets thrown under the bus? That's what always happens. It happened in Watergate. It happens here. Somebody comes along and says, I'm protecting my own keister. I am not going to protect somebody higher up.
Alan Chartok, we only have about a minute to go here on this very mini roundtable panel. The NPR coverage of the Judiciary Committee hearing for Judge Neil Gorsuch continues in a moment. Do you expect any bombshells here?
No, I don't. I think they're lowering the time that he could get into trouble from a half an hour per questioner to 20 minutes. I think if he could survive yesterday and do it when most of impartial observers are saying do it well, I don't think that today is going to be a day that you're going to see a frayed temper, which will lead to a mistake.
Well, that's not what I could call good forward promotion, because we're about to go to coverage of the whole darn thing all day long. So you never know. Alan, you could be wrong.
You never know. Things could really turn around here.
Way to be, old man. All right, we're done. That was it for the roundtable panel.
Old?
No, just it's a. Okay, let's just go to the
term of endearment. Yeah.